live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
We continue live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. If you caught Steve's news in the middle or are not familiar with the updates that are just breaking in the Texas shooting, the gunman in Sunday's church mass shooting had in-laws who attended the church in this small town, but they were not present at the time of the massacre. The in-laws came to the church after hearing about the attack. We don't know if that was the motive, but at least now there seems to be some sort of tie. 26 dead, 20 injured in a town of 600. At least 8 people came from the same family. A relative and a community leader stepped up and said, and they have not identified the name of this family because they don't want the survivors and the others to be bothered. A woman who was about 5 months pregnant killed. 3 of her children killed. The pregnant woman's brother-in-law and his young child dead.
We now know that 12 to 14 of the wounded or killed were children. That according to police this morning.
3 other members of the same family of 8 wounded. It's just beyond outrageous. It's just... Senator Durbin joins us now. We got a whole list of stuff we could talk to you about, but this is obviously front and center. Good morning, Senator.
How are you doing, Steve? I just heard you're recounting the numbers from Texas. It is, of course, our hearts go out to all the survivors and family, and we think about, again, another gun tragedy. The list just goes on and on and on. This has become, unfortunately, the new normal in America, where every week or so we have some outrageous mass killing. How much longer will it take before we stop turning our backs on the obvious things we need to do to make guns safer, to make sure that people use them responsibly, to keep them out of the hands of the people who are going to misuse them? Talk about it in Washington.
Here's what we know. We know that a lunatic and a gun are a bad combination. We also know that regardless of the academic definition of a mental health problem, anybody that kills somebody else is crazy, either in that moment or for an extended period of time. And if there's any pattern of behavior or legal hurdles they have to go over to get a gun, we're not doing a good enough job of preventing crazy people from getting guns. This particular shooter, Senator, had a problem in the Air Force to the point where he spent a year in the brig. And yet he still was able to get out after his discharge, not a dishonorable discharge, one notch below that in military terms, and still was able to legally buy a gun. How's that even fathomable?
We need a common sense conversation about this. And we need gun owners, people who use them legally, safely, responsibly, people who go hunting, people who want them for self-defense, to step up and lead this conversation. There is no excuse for what you just described. There is no excuse for someone being on the terrorist watch list and still allowed to purchase firearms in the United States. There's no excuse for these bump stocks, for goodness sakes, where you can shoot 100 rounds in 7 seconds. That's what happened in Las Vegas.
Right.
I mean, come on. Let's draw reasonable lines here within the Second Amendment limits and make sure that we do our best to keep guns out of the hands of those who misuse them.
Well, and that's the thing, too, because the argument you're going to hear is, well, that's not going to stop a bad guy with a gun. They're going to do it anyway. Look, we're trying to limit the carnage at this point. That's the first step. Limit the possibility and limit the damage once the shooting starts. And it's not so simplistic as we need more people with guns. We have more guns in this country than we have people. It's statistically provable there's more than 330 million guns in this country. And I'm a Second Amendment supporter, but we know that 75% of NRA members surveyed say that we need to make some changes, that these reasonable common sense laws should, in fact, be put into place. So as much of a fan of Senator Biden that I am, yesterday he said, don't give up, people, don't give up. The people aren't giving up. They're waiting for you guys in Congress to do something.
I understand that. And people point to the gun lobby, and it is an effective political unit. Make no mistake. I've been on the other side of their effort when I was a downstate congressman, even as a member of the United States Senate. But there's something larger at stake here. It isn't just the gun lobby. It is a mentality toward guns, and there is a wide divide, even within our state, of attitudes toward firearms. The attitude most people feel in the Chicago and suburban areas versus downstate, it is a cultural divide, and that's why my plea is to the people who are gun owners. We need you. We need you to step up here and guide us responsibly toward what we all know we want, and that is gun safety, to use the Second Amendment and not make it a suicide pact for innocent Americans.
There is no point in the Constitution where it says you have a right to own a gun regardless of the circumstances. It should be hard to get a gun. As a matter of fact, it should be harder than it is. I'm just getting over a cold. If I can't walk into a Walgreens or a CVS without showing my driver's license to buy certain cold medications, it should be way harder for you to get a gun. And Senator, I've heard arguments of people going, well, we're not going to close the gun show loophole because if I want to sell a gun to my brother who's never done anything wrong, I shouldn't have to go through the red tape. Yes, you should. It's a gun. I can't walk up at 16 years old and say, give me a license. I want to drive a car. I mean, grow up, everybody.
We know in the real world of politics that family transactions with firearms have usually been exempted. We're ready to concede the point if they'll go further and say those who aren't family members are going to have a background check. When you look at what goes on in Chicago, we've got a handful of gun stores in suburban communities where a lot of straw purchasing is going on. Girlfriends buying guns for thugs and felons and gang members who could not pass a background check. We've got the gun show problem in Northwest Indiana and other communities. I mean, those are obvious. For goodness sakes, there is no excuse for people who want to drive over to Northwest Indiana and fill a trunk of their car with guns without any background checks. We've got to have a universal background check so that the folks who are going to misuse them have a tougher time. And you say, well, come on, they're not going to go through the background check if they have a criminal record. Want to bet? About $100,000 a year do. I mean, they're not that smart. And they go through it, and we catch them, and we stop them. So that's what we got to do.
And by the way, we're not trying to stop El Chapo here. We got a bunch of really good people working on the drug cartels and working on the major gang issues. The major gang issues and a crazy guy who walks into a church or a lunatic in Las Vegas are two separate issues. We have to find a way to fund the mental health care we need in this country at a young enough age where you can head out the pass for some of these people. But when that bridge has already been crossed, we have to find a way to the best of our ability, as you said, to stop the lunatic from buying the gun. Or in the case of the Vegas shooter, he had enough to man his own army.
And another thing I want to mention, Steve, and I may have said it before in the show, I went over to the Cook County Juvenile Facility to sit down with those young people, teenagers, who were accused of shooting on the streets of Chicago. And I sat down with them for a while, and then I sat down with their counselors. I'm trying to look into this. What is behind all this? And I said to the counselors, who are these kids who spray a car, spray a home, and kill innocent people, grandmothers and babies, and don't think twice about it? And they said they've got every problem in the book, but 92% of them have been victims of violent trauma, or they themselves have witnessed violent trauma in their lives. And that has created this mindset that desperately needs an intervention, a counseling at some early point before the most horrible things occur, as they do often.
The background check, the bump stock question, which we thought was going to get through Congress, which is now stalled, the question about clip size, the gun show loophole, all two-foot putts. They're gimmies. We're not even talking about the AR-15 ban and the stuff that was made into law that expired and now Congress won't touch it. All of those, including the AR-15 ban, should be obvious. And I truly believe that if we had a fair survey of legitimate law-abiding gun owners in this country, they do agree with every one of those because they want to be safe and they want their families safe. So it falls on you guys.
It does, and it falls on the voters. Let me just be very blunt.
Yeah, to vote out the people that aren't getting it done.
Voters have to ask the questions, and they can't take a maybe for an answer. I mean, there comes a point, if we're going to do something about it, you've got to vote for people in either political party who are willing to stand up and do something sensible. And if you don't, more of the same.
I've got to ask you a couple other things while I've got you for at least a couple more minutes. The Rand Paul situation, he got mugged or something in his own yard, attacked by a neighbor. Do you know if he's all right?
I think he's fine. He was tackled from behind. I don't you know, he's a medical doctor himself, and I think he's fine. The reports are pretty good, but you got to be careful when you go home. Watch out for
it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. The tax situation with the tax bill that was put forward last week. Have you seen what the House is taking up?
We just got a report on it. Listen to how this goes so the people listening have an idea what we're faced with. They disclosed the bill on last Thursday. They are determined to pass it in the House before Friday. So it's a matter of 8 days to change the tax code that affects the entire U.S. economy.
Yeah,
now they've told us in the Senate, as soon as it's passed in the House, we're taking it up. We're passing it before we go home for Thanksgiving. And we're supposed to leave for Thanksgiving. I think it's November the 16th. We have all of about 7 days. This sounds like the health care bill all over again.
Well, and it also tells you something about Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell's priorities, that this gun issue, there's no way we could get it done. It could take years, and they want to change the entire tax code in a week and a half.
They do. We did health care, which is one-sixth of the economy, and that wasn't good enough for them. Now we're going to tackle, without hearings and amendments, we're going to tackle a bill that affects the entire economy and everybody listening to your program. Are there some good things for some of your listeners? Yes. But are there terrible things in there? Why are we still talking about tax breaks for the wealthiest people in America? I don't get a lot of letters from people say, you know, I have a multi-billion-dollar estate, and I don't want to pay any taxes to this government. I don't get a lot of those letters. And that's what we're talking about with the estate tax. 2 out of every 1,000 people would even qualify for paying an estate tax. I've asked them, identify one farmer in Illinois who lost their farm because of the estate tax, still waiting. It is part of the rural legend, not the urban legend, that goes around when these debates get started.
And lastly, the Bob Mueller investigation, it appears in all accounts that Mueller is doing everything he can as fast as he can, and some results are coming now. Do you expect this to be another momentous week, or is that hard to say?
It is hard to say, but here's the good news. More and more Republican congressmen and senators are saying, let him finish his job. Now, it's true there's a group in the House that want to remove him. They want him out of office. They don't like what he's doing. But the fact of the matter is most are saying, let him finish his job. He's a professional. Let him do this. Let him report to the American people. No one should interfere. Not Congress, not the president. Let him finish his job. I feel that. I trust this man. I trust his judgment.
And if you're like me, I'm not speaking for you, I'm speaking for me, where you feel like we trace the call, it's in the House, and the country needs to be protected from the guy in the White House. Why do we not need legislation putting this on Congress to approve a removal of Mueller?
I would support that, because I really think that right now it says for cause, but it really any president who decides to point the finger and say, fire that man, he would have to say it to the deputy AG, Rosenstein. And if Rosenstein refused, then, of course, he'd fire him and then replace him with someone who would do what the president wishes. We need a much clearer line of authority here. No one, not even the president, is above the law.
Senator Durbin, thank you. Where are you headed this morning?
Up to McHenry County with a new county board chairman up there, Jack Franks. We're going to meet some local folks, talk about some local issues.
And I'm sure you're going to hear a lot about guns there as well.
I'll bet I do.
All right, safe travels. Thank you.